You want a balloon, don't you, Ben? Yeah, drink that coffee, Mike. Girly boy.
Anything to get my voice back.
Welcome back to another edition of Bauman's Breakdown. Mikey, this is Mike Bauman. I don't know, I just felt like busting out Pennywise for some reason. I figured we'd get weird with it, given the weirdness I just witnessed from what you showed me on your TV screen.
What, you don't believe in professional wrestling?
I believe the wrestling is semi-real and everything else is 110% scripted. And I love watching the alter egos of people who get into it. It's pretty awesome. But I just saw some footage, folks, some behind-the-scenes footage of some Powerbomb Championship Wrestling.
Coming in Toledo, March 27th or March 24th.
March 24th.
Sunday.
I think that weekend, I might have to come out and see that. I think I'm going to be coming back from Florida, so.
You're going to have to come. It's going to be a blast.
Now, is this local stuff?
Oh, yeah.
This PCW?
It's going to be over at the IBC, which is the International Boxing place over at the old Fun Spot Arena. It's now all boxing. And it's the 24th of March. They got a huge card. They got some pretty, but they Powerbomb Wrestling used to be here, and they've asked me to start producing it. So I'm going to bring the production levels up, JMO standards, and we're going to punch it out on YouTube. We got some stuff already on YouTube, so, and people are already asking, when's it starting? When? Where can we buy tickets? So. People love their wrestling in Toledo. It's like they love the Gold Diggers,
Yeah.
No matter what, they still love the Gold Diggers.
Yeah.
So it should be fun.
Did I ever tell you, by the way, that my dad claims that him and his buddies are the ones that started the hit somebody chant back in the 70s?
Really?
At the Toledo Gold Digger games. Yeah.
You are famous then. Your dad's famous.
He said they used to, and I didn't believe him because I'm like, nah, Dad. Because for people who don't know, Toledo hockey in general is hockey's pretty big here, and the Gold Diggers back in the 70s were the minor league team, and that was a team that did really well. They had a lot of really tough, gritty guys. I mean, it was back in the old days, kind of like the movie Slapshot. I mean, that's what it was like. Guys would go to the arena and just pound beers and go nuts, and sometimes it was crazier in the crowd than it was on the ice, I think, but. Because who is the guy who just, who's the one player who just died that was...
Tan Tardini.
Tardini, and then there was another guy a couple of years
ago. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Because his son used to hang out with one of my buddies from grade school when they got to high school.
I don't remember names now.
But...
Because you had Aruzioni played.
Aruzioni, yep. And like you said, it was a Tantini. Tartini?
Tan Tardini.
He was the fighter, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of them.
He was one of the guys.
Well, he was a pretty boy, too. I mean, real good-looking Italian. Yeah, all the girls loved him.
Yeah. But they used to go to the games back in the day, my dad and my uncles and all their buddies, and, have a few adult beverages and go down on the glass, and they just started screaming, "Hit somebody." And like I said, this is all, I obviously wasn't alive yet. This is probably 10, 15 years before I graced this planet. And they used to say, "Hit somebody." Apparently my dad and my uncles and his buddies, they all used to say that. They were the ones, according to my dad, who started it. This is claim to fame. But now, ever since then, "Hit somebody" has become a staple at Toledo hockey. So
when they don't hit anymore.
When the Toledo Storm were around... That was the previous ECHL team for, 20-some years. They, national anthem, right before the last verse, everybody in the whole arena says, "Hit somebody." And it's funny because sometimes there's been people who have come here and done the national anthem and not known that, and they just kind of kept going. But everybody says, "Hit somebody." So they even have T-shirts with that on it now with the new team, the Toledo Walleye, who... They came to be in 2009 because we didn't have ECHL hockey in Toledo for a couple of years.
Yep.
Was it Reeder? Not Reeder, Reeker. I know the name is something like that. The one guy who died, who played for the Wall or for the Gold Diggers. This is bad radio. I'm like, terrible. Out of this guy's name, I can't remember.
Bill Smith.
Bill Smith. But yeah, hockey's huge in Toledo. And the footage I just saw of PCW kind of reminds me of some of the Scary Larrys that were probably hanging out back in the day at the Gold Diggers games. And I had a lot of memories from Storm games growing up. Basically, folks, if you can picture just a hot box full of just, you know, cheap beer, cigarettes, and about, I what would you say Sports Arena was about 6,500 seats, if that? And
yeah, that's probably about right. I think it was 6,500.
And it was on the east side of Toledo, right across the river. And I used to love going to games growing up with my dad. It was awesome. It was fun. He would take me and my brother. And, you know, we Pop was like a treat in our house. Greeter. There you go.
Greeter, yeah, yeah.
Greeter. Yeah, he died a couple years ago. He was a really good player for the Gold Diggers. See, I knew I'd get it. I knew I'd get it, baby. All right. But we used to go to Storm games all the time growing up. And this arena, folks, the Toledo Sports Arena, teams, it was like the black hole. Like, you went in and you didn't know if you were coming out. Like, people got rowdy. I mean, it wasn't like, it was nowhere near what it was like, I'm sure, back in the Gold Digger days. But it was fun because, you know, when I say the black hole, like, picture, like, Oakland Raiders type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
In terms of, I mean, but without all of the theater, without, you know, all the makeup and, like, everybody looking like, you know, just totally in full go, you know, like, you just had people there that were just nuts about Storm hockey, and they hated the other team, and they hated the refs. Like, every ref that ever did a game at the Sports Arena, their name might as well have been Boo Boo, because they came on the ice and, like, your officials tonight are Boo! I mean, people just hated the refs, hated the other team, and I got to give a shout-out to my buddy Dave, because he's a huge hockey fan, my buddy Dave Nowak, and he kind of grew up the same thing, going to Storm games all the time. But if you can picture an arena that was very old, and all the seats were right on top of the ice, it was literally, the place was shaped basically just like a big, I mean, it was like a big box, and you just had a hockey, you just had a hockey rink right in the middle.
Yep.
All the seats were right on top of the ice. And where the opposing team came out, it's not like today where, you know, there's a nice little tunnel that nobody else can walk by, everything's secured off. Like, both teams, to get on the ice, would have, like, the locker room was literally on the other side of the wall across from, like, concession areas. So the teams would
rope it off.
They would rope it off in between periods, you know, when the teams were getting ready to come back out on the ice, and they would have to walk through the fans, and people, and you're standing there just face to face with you, and people just getting the other team's faces, and the opposing team would walk right through the steps. People are right on top of you because it's such a small arena, and just talk crap to people all day long. And so other teams hated to play at Toledo because they knew they were getting themselves into a pretty rowdy atmosphere. And they hated to come there because it was just an old, run-down arena. I remember they tried to go progressive in the 21st century and make it the smoke-free sports arena.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could still smoke in the Riverdome Lounge, which was just basically like you're walking around the arena, and then in like the side that faced the street. When you came into the arena, that's where the Riverdome Lounge was. And basically, folks, if you can just picture, like, you're walking through the concourse, and all of a sudden there's this giant blue curtain. And even when it was a smoke-free sports arena, you couldn't smoke cigarettes in the arena anymore, but you could still smoke in the Riverdome Lounge. So you would literally open up this curtain, and just a plume of smoke would hit you in the face. It was like you were going into, like,
clouded.
It's like, you know, taking you off to Neverland. Only it was a Neverland.
Nicotine.
Neverland filled with nicotine and cigarettes and cheap beer and interesting people. Scary Larrys, as my mother would probably refer to them.
A couple of my friends met their wives in that smoking lounge. I kid you not.
Are they still married?
Yeah, still married.
Still married. But Storm games, God, man, that's bringing me back. It was a lot of fun. But it was, like I said, it was like, if you've seen the movie Slapshot, If you've seen that movie, that was the flavor that these games had. It was just rowdy, it was intense, and I saw a lot of great games there. And the Toledo Storm were affiliated with the Detroit Red Wings for a really long time. So actually, you know, you got to see some of those guys get chance with like the Grand Rapids team. I think they're the Griffins, I believe. Yes. And that's like the AHL team that's affiliated with Detroit. So you'd see guys come down and go up all the time. And I remember Kirk Maltby's little brother was with the Storm for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then you had guys like Deasley, who, you know, would fight all the time.
He was a beast.
Nick Perillo.
That's when I was a part of the Storm. That's when I was doing the Storm Report.
Oh, for real?
That's how I got my start. I did the Storm Report for like 5 seasons.
You never told me this.
That's how I got started. Yeah, me and Chief and Mark Kelly and that's back. That was back when
the early 90s.
Yeah, and what's his note? The head coach now,
Nick Vitucci.
He was the goalie.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a goalie, and it was Maltby. Trying to remember some of the guys that were on. That was a great time.
Deasley was a monster. Yeah, yeah. I remember he used to fight everybody.
He lived out in Sylvania. Good guy.
I think he ended up becoming a realtor, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's still in this area, but Nick Perillo was a tough guy, yep, too. He was about 5'9", 5'10". Used to just beat the snot out of everybody.
They don't fight. It ain't like that anymore.
No. They've tried to make it, I think, more family-oriented, you know, because, the like I said, the sports arena, that was not... I mean, it put hair on your chest as a kid, because you would see some... Actually, I saw, you know, I still remember just one game we went to. It was like a Thursday night. It was a school night. And my dad's like, "You guys want to go to the Storm game?" I'm like, "Yeah, hell yeah, we want to go to the Storm game." You know, but we were, you know, my parents were always good about making sure we were in bed by like 10 o'clock or whatever. So the game ended up going into overtime, and we left at the end of the third period. And at the time, they were playing the Columbus Chill, which obviously Columbus, Ohio is only like a two and a half hour bus ride from Toledo. And they used to get in some pretty scrappy games, and also the Peoria Rivermen, who have been in the AHL for a while now, because they had such a great fan base and were really good franchise. But when they were in the ECHL, they always used to have tough games with the Storm too. But the Columbus Chill, it would always get really physical, and the Storm had a couple of guys at the time, and I think that was right before Deasley and that whole wave of guys kind of came in, but... They went to overtime, and somebody scored a goal, and one of the guy, or actually I think went to overtime, then went to a shootout, and in the shootout, one of the guys from the Columbus Chill started saying something to the fans or whatever, and I think the guy from the Storm came out of the penalty box and started just beating the crap out of him. So I was like, "Dad, why did we leave?" Like, I mean, because the radio announcers would always get into it. I don't know who was doing the games at the time, but it was great, man. It was a lot of fun. And now they have the Walleye, and the new arena, the Huntington Center, is beautiful. And they've made it more family-oriented. I mean, but you still see guys fight. And Vitucci, who coaches the Toledo Walleye, as Mike just said, he used to play goalie for the Storm, so... You know, even though everything's family-oriented, like, he still brings that toughness to the bench, and I know the last couple of years he's tried to toughen up the team a little bit more. And actually, they're playing pretty well right now. Yep. I think they're second in their division, so.
Yeah, they've won like 6 or 8 in a row.
Yeah. It's good times, man, good times. And actually, this is the perfect time to be talking about some hockey, because the guy that you're going to be hearing from today is actually Canadian. And I know us ignorant Americans, that's all we think of when we think of Canada is beer and hockey. There's actually a lot more going on up there than just beer and hockey. A
lot of music.
They're not very different from us, and there's a lot of great music up there. But
hey, before you go there, I got to say one thing.
Yes.
Did you watch the Grammys last night?
I did watch it. I missed the one thing I wanted to see, though, which was Sting and Bruno Mars, and I think Frank Ocean, they did a tribute to Bob Marley. Did you watch that one?
Did you watch when Frank Ocean sang his song near the end of the night?
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the worst performance you've ever heard? Out of key, not playing the keys right. It was like they had that video set up, so he was like, it was like it was his legs.
Yeah.
Except it was a video and he was doing it and he was playing.
Yeah.
I have never, I only watched it because it was a train wreck. It was that bad. I mean, I would have been so embarrassed. I mean, how in God's tarnations can you be that off key throughout the whole thing? I mean, and a ton of people got on, you know, Facebook and everything last night. Like, what the hell? What was that? It didn't even sound good. It was like he was, the song was about Forrest Gump. What? What? Sorry, I'm just.
No, man, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just alleviating a little pressure there.
Let it rip. Let it rip. No, I watched it. The one thing I missed, I went up and went to the bathroom. I missed.
Hopefully that's what you missed.
I missed Sting and Bruno Mars, and I think Frank Ocean was with them, and then Rihanna. I think they did a tribute to Bob Marley, and that was the one thing.
I guess that was real good
because my mom really, really loved Sting and the Police. Like that's what I grew up with music was like Sting and the Police in '80s for my mom, and then like classic rock and like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and. You know, Eric Clapton and all that stuff from my dad. So I actually became a fan of Sting, I think, because it was so injected into my ears and my blood growing up. Like, my mom listens to, like, three things. She listens to Sting and the Police. Then she listens to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There you go.
And then she listens to, like, 80s pop. Like, she... and usually the 80s pop is, like Doobie Brothers or whatever, but... But yeah, I did watch that. I mean, I'm not really into.
He was so off key.
See, I mean, it's hard for me to judge it because I'm just not really into that type of. I'm not into mainstream pop music. It's just not my thing. I'm not really somebody that listens to top. I really hardly ever listen to the radio. Actually, I just listen to CDs or.
Well, I hope that one.
Yes, I still listen to CDs. You know. But I don't really listen, so in the Grammys, I mean, that's what you see on the, I mean, there's a ton of awards, but that's what you get, like, on the broadcast are all the names that everybody right. knows. So you get the pop stuff and the rock and mainstream, a lot of the mainstream stuff. But I was very happy for the Black Keys because they're out of Akron, Ohio, and those guys, as I think I've even talked about on this podcast before, I mean... One of the promoters in Toledo used to tell me that, or told me that they used to come to Toledo and play at Mickey Finn's, this bar venue that we've got here downtown. They used to play there like once a month as the house band for a long, long time. And, you know, even though El Camino's just taken off and blown up, like those guys have been around forever. And so it's cool to see all their hard work finally paying off and them being able to have, you know, now an international fan base. I mean, it's just crazy. And it's awesome because they're right out of Akron, Ohio. So I was really happy for the Black Keys to play last night and to get some recognition. I thought that was really cool. The top 40 stuff, I mean, you know, it's just not really what I'm into. I'm into more... indie stuff, and I'm a metal guy too. I really like hard rock and heavy metal because, you know, I got bit by the bug from my older brother Brandon with Metallica, and then I just started to just go more and more in that direction. But I listen to a lot of different stuff. Actually, a lot right now I'm listening to a lot of more kind of like trippy type of rock and more spacey type of stuff. I like the spacey stuff, and you know, I've been listening to some like Exit Calm and Over the Ocean and bands like that, But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I thought it was good. But yeah, I mean, that's what you get, Mike, on the Grammys is you get all the stuff that everybody's familiar with. You get the Justin Biebers and the Justin Timberlakes and the Jay-Z's and the Frank Oceans. And I don't know. I mean, but I watched it was cool like how they did that. I thought it was cool how they did the video stuff and all that. But I mean, it didn't really do anything for me just because I'm not into that type of music.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, songs about Forrest Gump just don't make it for me.
See, and I don't know what...
I didn't get it.
That's like something I'd have to listen to a couple, because they told me it was like Forrest Gump. I was like, really?
Just...
And then the video was just like a bunch of people running down
yeah.
a road out, and like it looked like they shot it. I mean, everything shot in L.A., so it looks like they just went out kind of off the cuff out in the desert almost. You know,
My only complaining was the fact that he was completely out of the key. Yeah, you're at 20 minutes there, brother. Tell me who you're talking about this week.
Well, hey, man, we got into some hockey. You showed me the PCW stuff, and we got into some hairy territory. But yes, speaking of music and hockey and, you know, all that good stuff, this past week I got to talk to a really cool dude who was very nice, very cordial, very down to earth. And like I said, I know I always say that, but he really was. And his band is doing some big things right now north of the border. And they've played some shows in the United States, and they're hoping to play some more stuff. And I think they absolutely will, because they're on a label that's doing a lot of things for them right now. And I'm talking about Poor Young Things, and I'm talking about Matt, specifically from Poor Young Things. He plays guitar and sings in that band, and basically these guys are out of Thunder Bay, Ontario, and a couple of years ago they relocated to Toronto to get to a bigger city. They all went to high school together in Thunder Bay and wanted to move to a bigger city in Canada to get some more voices, you know, or get to be heard, get some more recognition, get their music out to more people. And Toronto, and you know, is a hub for just culture and music, and there's so many bands that play there, and it's got a really good music scene. And they got there and recorded their EP, Let It Sleep, which released last January, not this past month, but a year ago, January. Via Bumhead Productions, which is their record label. And The Trues are actually a band that I've done a few stories on last year. They came through Toledo a couple of times. And if you're not familiar with The Trues, they're one of the most successful bands, Canadian bands, over probably the last decade. And I talked to Colin, who's a really super nice guy out of The Trues. But these guys have befriended one another. And when The Trues went on like a cross-country tour across Canada, Poor Young Things came with them, and they've been back and forth across Canada a bunch, you know, over the last several months, and they stopped to record their new album, started recording their new album, then went back on the road earlier this year, then came back and finished it. So these guys have been super, super busy, and their new album is due out in April in Canada. So if it's coming out in April in Canada, then it'll probably be around spring, summer, that we should be able to get it here in the States as well. But just awesome dudes. I had a lot of fun talking to Matt. He was really cool. And dude, I love Canadians, man. I mean, because even towards the end, he talks about, like, well, I don't want to give it away, but he was super nice, and I really enjoyed the conversation. And these guys are really great musicians and good dudes. So those are the types of people I like to have on the show. So I'm gonna shut the heck up without further ado. Here it is, everybody. This is Matt, vocalist and guitarist from Poor Young Things. Dude, I just want to say thank you for taking some time. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, me too. Thanks for doing the interview.
For sure, for sure. It seems like it's been a pretty fun road for you guys the last couple of years with Poor Young Things.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild, man. We've been pretty busy, which is always a good thing.
Yeah. Now for you guys and for yourself, how long has music been something that you knew you wanted to do, as far as, you know, being a touring band and try to get shows out to people?
Well, I mean, being from, we're from a smaller town in Canada, and I think we've all that's really the only thing that we've been interested in. I mean, it's tough. There's some people that really love to go to their job and as an accountant or whatever, you know, and they just love it. They love getting up every day, and that's how we feel about making music and being creative. And it's such a great outlet for how you feel on a day-to-day basis.
So what hatched the idea for you guys and Poor Young Things? I read that you guys have all been doing this together since, like, high school?
Yeah, well, we all went to high school together. We formed the band a couple years after that. We were all in kind of different bands gigging around town, and we just kind of found each other. And we just decided, I mean, if we really wanted to do it, what's stopping you from really going after, you know, if you want to be a musician as your job, we're young enough, we might as well go for it, right? Now's the time. And we did, and it's been in the couple of years that we've been signed to Bumstead, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, so for you growing up, what artists or musicians really influenced you? Did you come from a musical household, or was it something that you just kind of got into on your own?
Well, I have two older brothers, and I have four older cousins, I'm the youngest of seven grandkids, all boys, and they were all into music. So we used to go to our camp on the weekends, and everybody would have their guitars around the fire, and they would always be playing. So I think that that had some kind of effect on me. I mean, I've always been around it. My parents have lots of records. Everyone in the band's parents have lots of records. So it's I think it's a really important factor in kind of our love for music.
So at what point did you guys decide to go to Toronto? Like how far into Poor Young Things did you make that decision? Because you guys were thinking about going across the country to Vancouver, right?
Yeah, I mean, here there's it's either Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, and Halifax on the East Coast. And the East Coast seems to have their own kind of it's almost like a clique, but they're really welcoming. But it's like all those bands know each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we decided that Toronto was probably one, the closest place to where we originally were from. It's like only 16 hours away, and it's the hub of entertainment in Canada. So we just decided, that's the place we have to be. We would have loved to go to Vancouver because it's way nicer. The weather's way nicer, that's for sure. But I mean, yeah, Toronto is like the New York of Canada, I guess.
I've heard they're both really cool cities. I've been into Canada, but we didn't go that far up when I was a kid. We were in Ontario, but it was, I think it was like around Lake Leelanau. I don't know if you know where that's at, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But
what did you come up here for?
It was vacation when I was a real little kid, because actually where I'm at in Northwest Ohio, it's, you've got Detroit, so Canada is like right, across from, Detroit, the bridge. But like going into Canada, we just went there for vacation. But it was cool up there. I liked it.
Yeah, man, it's a really cool spot, and it's not that different than.
Yeah.
What you guys got going down?
Yeah. And actually, last year I did a couple stories on the Trues, who I know you guys are pretty tight with. I talked to Colin a couple of times when they came through Toledo, and
right.
Did that kind of have a role in you guys going to Toronto as well? Because I know that's kind of like their main hub too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, their keyboard player Jeff is actually from Thunder Bay, the town we're from. And he was one of the other reasons that we decided to go to Toronto. He said, you got to come here. This is like the epicenter of it all. And if you do come here, I can help you out. Which was like, oh my God, that's amazing. This guy's in like a big band and he wants to help these shitty little dudes out there. And he did. Like, he was the guy that showed, he did some demos with us and he showed it to Bumstead, and that's how we got on here.
Yeah, I mean, what is that like when? Because obviously you're going to a much bigger city, like you said. It's kind of like like somebody from a small town here going to like New York or Chicago or a big city in America and trying to make a name. I mean, having a friend like that to help you out, I gotta imagine that feels pretty good when you're going to a new place. Because he kind of hooked you guys up. Was with it, John Drew.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, we're so lucky to have had things fall into place like they have. There's a lot of bands that just tour and tour and tour forever. And touring Canada is tough, man, because everything is like 8 hours apart. Like, yeah. In the States, you can drive from Chicago to Bloomington to whatever. I mean, it's so close. But here, it's you're doing like a show, and then you drive 12 hours, and then you do another show, and then you drive 6 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like there's lots of bands that just do that for 10 years, and nothing ever comes of it. And we moved down here. We got things rolling right away. Within a year of moving to Toronto, we were signed. And it's pretty incredible.
So how long you guys been in Toronto now? Like 2 years, 3 years?
I think 2.5.
Do you ever wonder what it would have been like had you guys gone to Vancouver?
Yeah, I do. I think that Vancouver is kind of. I know that there's a lot of the venues are closing down now, from what I'm hearing, and it's a different sound. Like, Vancouver is kind of like the what's the word to use? I don't want to say Cock Rock, but I want to say Cock Rock. You know what I mean? Like, Toronto's a little more of an eclectic sound.
Right, right.
But I mean, there's lots of music out of Vancouver, but it's so far away, and it's just, I don't know. It's great to be in Toronto because we can go into the States, we can go down, we can go up, we can go side to side. It's like the perfect middle of everything.
So what was it like when you guys met, when you met John and he was just like, hey, you know, I would love to do your demo with you guys. Is that kind of how it went?
Well, we got signed to Bumstead. They were asking us they were like, what are your dream producers? So we had this big list of like people we never ever thought we would ever get to this doing. And we loved John. He did, Tokyo Police Club and Fucked Up and the Arkells album Jackson Square. And we just happened to be, it was the last studio that we were looking at, and we happened to go on for a tour of it, and he was just sitting there. And our drummer was like, I think that's John Drew, and he was just sitting in this little room. And then 2 weeks later, he had agreed to do it. I guess he liked the demos that we sent him, and that was it. And so we did the EP with him. The EP came out in last January, and we actually just finished up a brand new album, like a full length album with him. So he's a great guy. He's so nice.
So he wasn't disappointed that you guys didn't have maybe more of a cock rock sound when you came in.
He's not really a cock rock type of guy.
So
he actually plays in a couple bands. One of them's called All Eyes West. I think they're based in Chicago, or no, two of the guys are from Chicago. So he's actually does quite a bit of touring down there.
Yeah. So within the last year, you guys have been all the way across Canada a couple of times, right? And so what's that like when did you guys like mix the touring with the recording, or did you block off like a certain amount of time to record and then go on tour? How did that work for you guys?
With this new album, everything happened in a pretty short period of time. I mean, when we released our EP last January, we pretty much went across Canada four times, I think. So we did all the touring up until August, like up until September, and then we took a month off. We wrote the new album. We recorded half of it. We went on tour, and we came back and we recorded the other half. So it was very not rushed, but I mean, it wasn't, you know, you don't get to do a lot of relaxing. And it's tough. It can be tough because, for a singer, like playing a show every night and then going into the studio and having to do vocals, and, you know, it's. So I think the new album is going to have a bit of a rougher, rawer sound, which is a good thing, I think.
What does John bring to the table as far as a producer goes? Like what are the kind of things that he brought out of you guys that maybe you feel like this record is going to turn out the way that you hoped it would turn out?
Well, he's the kind of guy who he's just like the nicest guy you'll ever meet. So he's not like, there's some producers that really get in there and change everything and really want to be part of the process. He's more of a, he kind of sits back and he'll watch what you're doing. He'll say, maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do this. And if you don't like his ideas, then he's not, you know, offended. But the way he said that, you want to like his ideas because he's just so nice about it. But I think that, yeah, he's really sonically, it's gonna be massive. I think that was really important to us. And it's got some cool touches. And he's always got great ideas. We like to do lots of gang vocals and claps, and he knows how to capture that stuff, like, so it sounds amazing on albums.
Yeah, for you guys, listening to the EP, I mean, I think it's definitely a sound where it's... There's more going on, and it's a rock sound, but it's also, I don't know, it's like it's kind of laid back, but it's upbeat. I mean, as far as what you guys are going for, are influence wise, is there anybody in particular that you guys really liked or really looked up to, or is it just kind of a collective of just what comes out of you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's five guys, and I think we all have pretty eclectic tastes. We love lots of new indie music, but we also love, you know, the old classics, Petty, Springsteen, you know, Zeppelin. But we love, like, you know, country, and there's some guys, we love rap. It's like, there's so much stuff, and I think it just kind of, everyone brings their own thing to the table, and it kind of comes out. And we want to, you know, any album we make, we want to make sure that it also sounds like it's going to be fun to listen to live. So there's always lots of, you know, group vocals and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely translates, man. I mean, especially just watching some of the music videos and some of the live stuff that you guys have made. It looks like you're having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. I mean, no one's going to, you know, tour whatever, 365 days out of the year if you're not having fun, right? It's got to be something you want to get up every day and do 100%.
Was this past the past couple of tours that you guys have done throughout Canada? Was that your first time going all the way across the country like that?
Early on, when we were still living in Thunder Bay, we did a couple of tours. I think I booked them, and they were absolutely terrible. I know the very last one that we did before we moved, our van broke down just outside Toronto, and we had to get a flatbed truck to come and pick up the van and the trailer, and we had to stay in this hotel for like a week, you know, while it was coming down, and it cost us like $2,000 to get it home. It was just the worst. And it's so cold, like the winters were so cold. I mean, that was like the worst experience. That was almost as bad as we just got back from, we did Chicago and Bloomington on the weekend. And we were driving through Michigan, we hit a patch of black ice, and we spun out into the ditch. That was almost another, you know, it was almost game over. I think the trailer is the only thing that kept us from not flipping over.
Gosh.
But we were able to just drive out of the ditch and keep going, so.
Yeah, that's
good. Nothing's going to slow us down, man.
Now, for you guys, I know you were also recently nominated as one of SiriusXM's Emerging Artists of the Year. What's it like to get that type of, I mean, win or lose, I got to imagine that's pretty awesome just to have that type of exposure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the other bands that are in the categories, it's pretty wild. Like, there are bands that are playing at Massey Hall here in Toronto, which is a huge place, and it's just very cool to be recognized in the same vein as those other bands.
And
it's really surprising. Like, I never would ever expect anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the internet stuff and everything, obviously now, is kind of where things have been going. So to have Sirius, who's on like a, you know, an international scale, basically, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Sirius has been incredibly, incredibly supportive, and it's always good to have somebody like that in your corner.
And I know you guys are doing this run coming up when you guys are going to be in Bowling Green, which is pretty near here to Toledo area in Northwest Ohio. I know you guys have done some stuff with them, and obviously the Trues, and those are two bands that have pretty large fan bases now. But it's also taken them like a really long time to do that, and it's taken a lot of hard work. And I know the Trues are still trying to get the same type of respect in the U.S. that they've gotten for so long in Canada. Have you taken anything away from kind of what those bands have been through or their experiences? Have you kind of learned anything from what those guys have told you?
I think it's just, the Trues play a show here, and they have their crew, and they have all the guys, and they go down to the States, and it's, you know, it's just them. They set up their own gear, they play the show, and they don't even, you know, they're not upset about it. They just love to play, and I think that there's, you know, it's a tough thing, and I'm not really sure why, but like sometimes it just doesn't translate. Like, you know, going from Canada to the U.S. there's this thing that just, it doesn't translate, but you have to work at it, and you know, it's, I think they just wanted to let us know that you have to work, you can't have an ego about it, you have to just go out there and do your thing, and if you're good enough, then people will take notice.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's definitely a case with them as well as Red, Wine, and Blue, that hard work pays off, because I Red, Wine, and Blue, they're out of Columbus here in Ohio, and I know they've had several albums, kind of like the Black Keys. Like, they had several albums before they got to a point where it was like, then the Letterman stuff and all that stuff started coming. I mean, it was literally like almost a decade. Like, the Black Keys used to play a house show at a place called Mickey Finn's here in Toledo. They used to play like once a month to like four people. You know, it's nuts.
It's pretty wild how it all goes. I was talking to Scott, the lead singer of Red, Wine, and Blue, and I think he said they've been going in some incarnations since like
Yeah. Which is
pretty wild. I mean, you gotta work at it, and if you really want to do it, then you have to keep working at it, even when maybe it's not going exactly how you want it to go. I think that's the key, to stay with it, and eventually you'll be rewarded. Just hard work, you know.
So for you guys, now that you said the album's done, so what's sort of the plan for the spring and summer for you guys?
Well, we're going to be doing, I guess we're just going to be touring constantly. I think we're going to go down south by, do a couple showcases down there. Hopefully we'll be going more into the States and just going across Canada, just working hard.
Do you guys have a goal in mind as far as when you want to get the full length out?
I think it's coming out. Well, I know it's going to come out in Canada in April the 2nd. I assume it would probably be similar to the States.
Well, Matt, thanks for the time, dude. I really appreciate it, and best of luck to you guys going forward, man. That's awesome. The South By thing should be pretty sweet. I know that seems to be getting bigger every year. So for sure, man, it's great for you guys.
Yeah, we're trying. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to a Canadian bum.
Dude, you know what, man? Canadian people are cool, dude. Like, I'm not just saying that either. Like, what I still remember from when I was a kid, like, everybody up there was just so, like, cool and laid back. And even Colin, talking to him, like, he was just, like, so candid and just like a nice dude. So, yeah, I mean, anytime I can do stuff on bands who are trying to get some more exposure or anything like that, it's always cool. You know, I think Toledo's got a good little local music scene going now, so anytime I can do the local bands, it's cool. And you know, you guys are doing some stuff right now, so it's anytime I can try to help out and get people some press, it's always awesome, you know.
Oh, we definitely appreciate it, man.
This is White Lightning. You took my belt once. You're not going to take it again. I wake up every... Oh, wait. Excuse me. Sorry. This isn't PCW. Welcome back. My failed attempt at humor. No, Mike's laughing. Now you got me in wrestling mode, because when I used to watch those promos when I was a kid, man, I used to get into that. Me and my brother, we used to stay up late. We were supposed to be in bed by like 10:30, and I would get so ticked off.
Bobo Brazil.
And it's when you're a kid and you're super naive. And this is 10, 15 years ago, you know. So that was when there was, you know, WCW, which is gone. Now it's like TNA and WWE are the two big ones.
Right.
But my favorite wrestler was Sting, because he wore face paint, and he wore black, and he had that big, long, black, like, trench coat on, and he had that black bat, and he would come out of the rafters, the lights would go out, and he would just start taking names and kicking ass. I'm like, yeah, Sting, because he was, like, dark and mysterious and just awesome. But we always used to stay up late, and when you're a kid, you're naive. You always think, because then the title match comes on, live on Monday night, you know what I mean? And there would always be somebody who would interrupt the match, and me and my brother would be like, damn it, like every single time, and we'd stay up till like 11 watching this crap, and then like there'd always be somebody so tune in on Thursday night for SmackDown and all, you know, and then that would happen again. Then somebody would the fights were always getting interrupted. Somehow the referees would always get kicked in the face and get knocked out just long enough so they wouldn't see it get interrupted. Then some moron would come in there and bash a guy in the head, and then you wouldn't get to see a fair fight. I mean, it happened all the time. But yeah, Sting was what I loved Sting, and that was right when Hulk Hogan, they convinced him like that going bad would be like a good thing. And so then you had the New World Order, the NWO, and then you had the NWO Wolfpack and the WCW, and then the WWE, which was still the WWF at the time. They had you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and D-Generation X, and I mean, there was actually a lot of really entertaining, the storylines were, you know.
Some of them were really good.
Yeah, they got real creative, and so it's, my one buddy Dave that I mentioned earlier, he still gets into it and watches it, and it's entertaining, it's fun to watch, but now I watch it, and I watch those guys do the promos and stuff. And it just makes me laugh because...
Here we go again.
Well, just because there's so many people in the stands that, like, really get it. Like, they really... Like, if you're the bad guy, like people really think that you're a bad guy. You know what I mean? People are like, boo, you suck. The guy's coming out, everybody's throwing. And it's like, you guys, he's not really like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I love it, because there's just a lot of crazy characters both in and out of the ring. And
we'll have it March 24th. You'll be able to start watching it.
PCW, baby.
Coming back.
But what you just heard was not PCW. In fact, it was Matt from Poor Young Things, vocalist and guitarist for Poor Young Things. And keep an eye on him, you know. And I hope that's something that maybe draws some of you guys back to Bauman's Breakdown. Isn't just the shenanigans between myself and my fellow Mike brethren that does this show with me, but also just the conversations with some cool dudes and some cool people and a lot of bands that maybe you're not familiar with, and hopefully get familiar with. I mean, these guys in the last couple of years have really been busting their ass to make a name for themselves, and they're on a good label with Bumhead. They got their new record done, and they're friends with some good dudes up there in Canada with the Trues, who are also busting their asses right now to try to make a name for themselves here in the States, which is weird why some stuff crosses over and some stuff doesn't, but they're also a really talented band. If you're not familiar with the Trues, go check them out. And it's T-R-E-W-S, but Poor Young Things. I just want to say thanks to Matt, and you know, it was awesome talking to you, man. And thanks to Jeff, who set up the interview for Toledo Free Press. You can check out the print story at ToledoFreePress.com, as always. And yeah, man, it's awesome. These guys are good dudes. When this airs, they will have already played their show here in Northwest Ohio on the 14th, which is Valentine's Day, I believe. They're doing a run of shows right now with Red Wanting Blue out of Columbus, who, kind of like the Black Keys, man, has just been busting their butts for a really long time, and now is finally starting to break on a national level. They were on David Letterman several months back, and also really good dudes and great musicians, and they're doing a run of shows with them here in the States. So it's cool, man. I like it when I talk to down to earth people who want to talk to me, because every now and again you get interviews where, you know, as I've said before, I'm just kind of another notch in the belt that day, and it's something they don't really want to do. And unfortunately, those don't always translate so well to this medium. So you haven't heard any of those interviews. But Matt was really cool, and it was a lot of fun talking to him. He was a really nice guy, and I wish nothing but the best for these dudes as they continue to make a name for themselves. And they're not going to have any problem, because they have fun when they play. They do live chants, and they get people involved, and they're just fans of music themselves. They're huge fans of music, and as you heard in the interview, if they weren't having fun, they wouldn't be doing it. So make sure you check them out. Go to PoorYoungThings.com. You can get all their updated info there, all their links to all their social media sites, their tour dates, what's going on, their funny videos that they post for updates and what have you, and check them out. I encourage you to check them out after you listen to this show, and keep checking us out. ToledoSportsNetwork.com, ToledoFreePress.com. You can tweet me at mbauman5, and you know, let me know either how terrible I am or how much you like the show. Either way, it's cool. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're like, hey, dude, you know, maybe if you just wouldn't ramble so much, we would like you more. But that's what I do, because it's my show, damn it. But thank you, everybody who's been checking it out. There's been more people visiting every month, and it's been a lot of fun bringing these to you guys, and I hope I can do it as long as I can. And it's all about sharing experiences and stories and music with people and connecting everybody. So it's awesome that people are listening around. And make sure you subscribe. And if you subscribe, go to iTunes and just rate the show. Hell, even if you give me one star and say, this is the worst podcast ever. You know what? iTunes, they still track that as
don't
listeners.
Ask for that.
I'm not asking for it. I'm just saying they still track. If somebody were to give me a one star rating and say, this is the worst podcast ever, that would still put me on the map as far as somebody listening. Because, like, if there's comments, then they say, oh, well, there's traffic going to that show. Feedback is good. That's just how iTunes rates it. So subscribe. Obviously, I don't want you saying the most horrible things in the world, like this guy needs to just go whatever. But, you know, I hope you do subscribe if you're somebody who listens to the show a lot. And if you do like it, please rate it, whether you think it's 2 stars, 3 stars, 4 stars, whatever. Because then it helps iTunes track the show, and inevitably that will mean it will get more and more people coming to it and listening to it. And I don't want to do that for necessarily my benefit, but just for the sake of, you know, making sure that the artists that you hear on the show get exposed and get more attention, because that's really, at the end of the day, what it's all about. So on that note, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to let Mikey get some rest because he's under the weather, and I got a couple more days of work ahead of me. I'm going on like 7 out of 8
right
now.
You guys
were
all sick for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Everybody, and it's like waves. Now
it's the trickle-down effect. So I'm going to let Mikey get some rest. But check them out, Poor Young Things, poryoungthings.com. And on that note, I'll say keep the faith and be kind to one another. Peace.